Okay. Over to you.
Over to me. Quite hard to follow Mike Shaughnessy, actually. So, gear change, everybody, all right? We were in the community from 1986 to 1993. We came from war-torn Belfast at that time. It was right in the middle of the Troubles. And when we came to London, folks said, gosh, I'm sure you're glad to be away from Belfast. And the people in Belfast had said, gosh, how are you going to manage in that really dangerous city? So perception is interesting, very different from place to place. Before we came, God spoke to me from the book of Jeremiah. There's a passage in chapter 29 where Jeremiah is talking to the people that are about to be exiled or who have been exiled away to Babylon. I'm not, you can't connect this entirely. But basically what he was saying, when you're there, you need to put your roots down. You need to make it your home. You need to plant gardens. You need to build houses. Sorry?
No. Somebody was agreeing with you there.
All right, okay. you need to have families, and you need to make it your home. And you need to pray for that place. And if that place prospers, then you will prosper too. And it was a very clear word from God. And so when we came, right from the start, London became our home. And on the times when we would go back to Belfast, people would say, well, are you glad to be home? And we would say, well, we're not home. This is not home anymore. London is our home. And so that was made possible, obviously, by the grace of God, but also by the folks in the community, West London community as it was then. The first was the Khan family, been mentioned already, and what an amazing family. They took us in, five of us, into their home for 6 weeks. They hadn't, I think maybe we'd met them once before at a meeting. And there we were from Northern Ireland. And they made us welcome and just let us be part of their family. And, you know, that doesn't happen all that often. A funny story from that. Remind you that we had come from the Troubles in Belfast. It was a very hot summer. We had our windows open at night and we heard the police in a car outside discussing our number plate as to who we were. Anyway, there we go. So that was the first real welcome and friendship and just something that was really extraordinary that we received as a blessing when we came. Another example, I got the flu, and I can't remember how long it was after I came, and I was on the flat of my back with three small children, and John was off GPing on the other side of London or doing whatever he was doing. And in the meetings.
No, stop. Don't say anything more.
You know the sort of meeting syndrome that people have, meetings. Anyway, some wonderful angels from the community, Gay Pumphrey was one of them, came and just took the kids away for the day and cared for them and looked after them while I'm on the flat of my back. And I'm sure there were others, and you'll forgive me, but because I had the flu, I don't remember who they were. But again, this wonderful example of love and care for people that really, you know, folks didn't know. They just knew we're going to welcome them. And then to move on a little while, when we'd been in London for a while, God blessed us with two more daughters. Some of you know the first one that came in London. Her name is Beth. Beth was an interesting child. I remember, Mike, I don't know if you remember, one time you were in our house and she was doing what she did, like a little sort of tornado around the house. And Mike looked at her and he said, "My, she should have been a boy." But she's not, and she is wonderful, but she was challenging. And Teresa and Claire used to take Beth from me for one morning a week each to preserve my sanity. And they entertained her. And, you know, part of that love and care that they gave her, I think... Yes, has fed into her life. And any of you that have small children that are like that, be encouraged. It may not last beyond the mid-teens. Anyway, so that's the first thing. What the wonderful welcome that we got from the folks in Antioch. Wonderful. The second thing, and again, because we came from Northern Ireland, which is a different place these days, but in those days it was a very insular, parochial society. And London was such an amazing experience for us. I think that has been mentioned already in the nature of the community, but you don't travel the world, but the world is here. The school that the children went to, there were 24 other mother tongues represented there. So this, it was just a mind-blowing experience for folks from Northern Ireland at that time. And again, in the community, there were people from all over the world, people with a wide range of sort of denominational cultural backgrounds, if I can put it like that. It wasn't just like Northern Ireland. We had our Catholics and Protestants, but we had Orthodox. We had people who had connections with a Jewish background, things like that. And it would just stretched our minds and had such a huge impact on us. Donald Rumsfeld talked about the unknown unknowns. We had so many unknown unknowns. And, of course, we'll all have those, you know, all our lives, I think. But it made us think. It made us challenge. What do I just do because I do it or because that's what I've always seen done? And what is really important? What is the heart of our faith? And what is the heart of my relationship with the Lord? And that, I think, was such an enriching thing for us in the 7 years that we spent here. So it was both London, but particularly the community. We learned so much. It really has changed our lives and had an impact on us and on our family. And London is still home. Three of our children live in London. All of our current grandchildren are in London. So we still come very often. We're comfortable here, and we're... well, this is marvellous, just to be back here and see so many old friends. So I can never say thank you enough to the Lord and to Antioch community for all that they put into us in the 7 years that we were here. Very special 7 years. Thank you.
I'll just add a couple of things to that. Perhaps it is fantastic to be back. It's amazing to look around the room and see so many of you looking so remarkably well, although my eyesight isn't what it used to be. But it is fabulous to see you. And as Helen said, our time here was... perhaps the most formative period in our lives, the 7 years. We came from Belfast. I suppose we came from what was a very vibrant, radical group of young people who were caught up in what I think was a really remarkable outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Ireland, north and south, in the 70s and 80s. It was something very vibrant, and we came here to a community that was also radical. But It was also anchored in the historic traditions of the church. It embraced all ages. It was theologically much richer and much more diverse. It was ethnically more diverse. It was socially diverse. It was a remarkable group of people to come and feel that we could be a part of. And I suppose, there were clear differences in culture. I remember when we first arrived in the Cairns house, and we were sitting down in the first couple of evenings, and Bob and Sylvia, it was about 9 o'clock, and Bob and Sylvia said good night, and off they went. And after about 20 minutes, I looked at Helen, and Helen looked at me and said, "Where have they gone to bed?" And you have to understand that in Northern Ireland, people start going to bed after 11. You know, I mean, half 11 is an early night. And Bob and Sylvia disappeared at 9 o'clock, and we thought, that's very odd, isn't it? But night after night, they would disappear. So we began to realise, actually, this is different here. So it was a transforming experience, and we were stretched, and we were, I think, expanded by the ideas that we encountered, by the people that we met, by the people who were in the community, by the amazing city that London is. And it was a real challenge to a young boy from Northern Ireland who felt he knew it all. You know, and I remember in a meeting that Neil Yates was in, and I said, I can't imagine how any Christian could vote Labour, and Neil Yates looked at me and said, I do. I said, really? So, but it shows you what I've learned and how I've changed. So, you know, and it was very challenging, and again for a Northern Ireland prod to have these Catholic men and women pastorally as my oversight and training me was first of all, it was a bit bewildering, but it was enormously enriching and enlightening and difficult at times and quite challenging. But it was a wonderful experience for us as a family, and for me, I suppose, as the dad. And it was the people of Antioch and the Sword of the Spirit, and men like Mike Shaughnessy and Bruce Yoakam and Louis Alexander and Ian Archibald and other wise women as well, who made such an impact on me, oftentimes as I was arguing with them as to explain to them why they were wrong. So it was a remarkable experience. And you know, I think one of the things that we sometimes don't appreciate in the community and in the Sword of Spirit is how there is that foundation of teaching that has been laid in people's lives, and you know, it's orthodox, it's biblical, and it's important. And I remember when I was giving a talk one time, Joyce Donovan, you look for people who are responding, and Joyce Donovan was sitting by the second row back and smiling and nodding away. And after the teaching, I went over and said, Joyce, you know, you're such an encouraging person to have in the congregation. And she said, yes, I know, John. The servants of the word always taught us to look as if we were interested and enjoying it. But you know, I remember see Tom Bick there. I remember that one week, Tom asked me to come and give a teaching in the Boston Manor district about communication. So I thought, well, look, we'll start this off with a wee humorous sketch. So I got up and said, well, look, today we're going to talk about communication. And Tom, who was head of the district, said, hold on a second, John. It's not communication. It's husband-wife relationships. And I said, no, Tom. No, no, you said communication. No, John, I did not say communication. Did you not read the email? No, Tom. It was definitely communication we're talking about. So anyway, we finished it off with a brilliant, humorous punchline. And then I continued and gave the talk on communication. And at the end of it, an older couple who shall remain nameless came over to me and said, John, we were so embarrassed by Tom. Really, that was just out of order. And I mean, Tom's acting was brilliant, I have to say. You know, but so I had to decide whether to tell them, well, it was actually just a joke, or to say, I know. So I think I say, I know. I will speak to him afterwards. but anyway, it was a fantastic privilege to work alongside, well, I've written down here, to work alongside brothers and sisters of the highest integrity who were wholly committed to following God and to serving him. And it was very inspiring, and it meant an enormous amount to us. To be yoked with Mike and Ian was wonderful, actually. Mike, all three of us were very different. Mike and Ian were very organized. Mike was an unorganized creative genius, an insomniac who could turn his hand at anything. Ian was an organizational master of the universe. And I wasn't. Organization and administration was not my strongest suit. On a scale of sort of 0 to 10, I was a -3. But the wonderful thing was it covered my back, because you know, anything that Ian missed, Mike saw. And so I just waltzed up and wandered about, and they organized it all. And I just did the relational stuff, you know. But it was, I think, such a meaningful experience to feel that you were serving shoulder to shoulder, you know, with other men and with other sisters who were really there to serve the Lord and who saw the importance of living together in unity, even with all the tensions and disagreements and the how personalities rub up against one another. And yet there was that sense of we're here because God has called us to be here to do a work for him. And just to sort of finish off, remember, Ian used to be in the, he used to work in the office on Boston Manor Road. Some of you will remember it. And he used to walk home then up to Clitheroe Avenue past our house. And he used to invariably have a number of envelopes for me of things that I had to do, that he had mostly done, but reminders, etc. So he'd walk up, and one day he walked up and he set his suitcase down the footpath, and he walked up and knocked the door. And about three children raced down, opened the door, said, "Oh, Uncle Ian, hello, Uncle Ian." And he said, is your dad there? Could you give these to him? And they said, "Uncle Ian, your suitcase is out on the footpath. You've left your suitcase out there." And briefcase, sorry. And Ian said, "Do you know what? I had a friend who left his briefcase on the footpath and a dog came out and lifted his leg and peed on it." And at that point in time, our next door neighbours, Jack Russell, walked out, lifted his leg and peed on his briefcase. And our kids went, and of course, Ian, being the person that he was, just burst out in laughter and laughed and laughed. But it's one of those stories that has gone down in history in our family of Uncle Ian's briefcase. Anyway, let me just finish by saying that we owe you a deep debt of gratitude, as Helen said, and let me just read a verse that I feel is very relevant to Antioch as a community, to you folks, you dear folks. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work. I think faithfulness is one of your defining characteristics. Your loving deeds, and Helen has alluded to some of those, and I think we've all experienced, and many, many people, thousands of people have, and the enduring or steadfast hope that you have because of our Lord Jesus. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you. Excuse me, that God loves you and has chosen you for his own people. Amen. Amen. May God bless you all.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Helen. And to Trevor and to Therese and to Mike. All previous people that have had significant leadership responsibility over the last 40 years.